This recording of a channeling session is intended for your personal use only and is protected by copyright. Please do not duplicate it for any commercial means, and please do not post it to any website. Feel free to post a link back to it on www.josiah.com. Thank you.
Well now, finally it allows us to express our greetings to each of you, and we would remind you that there continues to exist that opportunity for you to be involved in that silent communication, and once again, as a result of the energy that you have created, it becomes quite easy for you to alter your consciousness and to enter into that that effect and to have that telepathic interaction and that experience. And we would encourage you to do so, absolutely, but as always, that choice is yours as well, absolutely. Now, this reality that you are experiencing, once again, is a reflection of and a validation of your beliefs in belief systems. You see, your beliefs can be categorized into three different types of beliefs and belief systems. You have what we refer to as the human consciousness belief system. The human consciousness belief system is a belief system that all of the entities existing within your vibrational level have agreed to participate in and to validate and to sustain. It's a human consciousness belief systems that you might refer to as your laws of physics. There's a consensus that you would all participate in, validate and sustain this so-called human consciousness belief systems, of which, as we have already suggested, time and space are a prime example. Others such as you need to have some type of sustenance in order to sustain existence within your conscious state in this vibrational level. Various human consciousness belief systems that you agree to participate in and are very difficult for you to step outside of, to continue to exist within this vibrational level without holding and validating those beliefs and belief systems. And then you have what we refer to as a societal belief system. And you're all familiar with societal belief systems. You have different societies existing throughout your entire Earth system, where one society holds beliefs that are completely foreign and seemingly exactly the opposite to other societal belief systems. Some societal belief systems are in direct conflict with other societal belief systems, and yet are as valid and as real as any other societal belief system. And you're all familiar with that type of belief system, absolutely. Easier to change than your so-called human consciousness belief systems, but still to exist within that society and to operate from an entirely different societal belief system can cause an individual to experience difficulties through the choices that you're making to exist within that society while holding different societal belief systems. And then you have the individual belief system, personal belief systems, if you wish. Much easier to change than either the societal, and certainly more easy to change than the so-called human consciousness belief systems. Individual belief systems, although for some as well, can be very difficult to change, absolutely. And it's a combination of these beliefs that we refer to as belief systems that are responsible for the reality that you're experiencing in your day-to-day activities and interactions, that are responsible indeed for the entire experience within that earth system and within that society and within your individual experiences. Combination of those beliefs that form the belief system. And so many times attempting to change a belief can be very difficult. An individual will hold belief systems that are being validated, that are creating realities that you may find to be less than desirable in your awakened consciousness state. While once again that spark of consciousness that you are is very joyously creating the reality to validate the beliefs and the belief systems. And so you can consciously have a desire, and you can consciously attempt to hold certain beliefs that you wish to experience, while at your other levels of consciousness you hold conflicting beliefs or belief systems. And so it becomes very difficult to achieve or particularly to sustain a certain achievement in a belief or a reality that you desire to experience. And so it becomes very important to understand that it's a combination of beliefs that's responsible for the reality you're experiencing, the belief systems that we refer to. It's also very important to understand that each individual is no more, no less than any other individual existing in your vibrational level, and all are responsible for the experience that you are having in your so-called awakened consciousness state, and for this reality, for this entire earth system that you exist within your vibrational level. All are responsible. You see, your society looks upon individuals who are involved in what you might refer to as an abusive situation. And from a societal point of view, you look upon that as being a negative reality, a negative experience. But the individuals involved in that particular relationship choose to be involved. Now that becomes difficult to grasp. How can someone choose? It's like choosing to have a certain illness. And yet, or they may not choose to experience that type of abuse, of abusive situation in their so-called awakened consciousness state. Nonetheless, they hold beliefs that are being validated. Beliefs many times that were put in place in your so-called altered states of consciousness. And both individuals, both the abused and the abuser, have at some level of their consciousness agreed to participate, to validate realities. One's not responsible for the other any more than the other is responsible for the one that's assumed as being the aggressor. It's rather ironic that in most abusive situations, it's the victim that's in control. That becomes difficult to grasp, but nonetheless a very accurate description of the types of beliefs that are held in those types of realities, in those types of relationships. Almost invariably, the abuser is the one who is in control. The victim is in control of the situation. When the victim decides to stop being a victim, when the victim begins to hold the beliefs that they are a worthy individual, when the victim begins to hold the belief that they wish to be involved in a what you might refer to as a more positive type of relationship and interaction with other individuals, then the victimizing stops. It terminates. The abusive situation ends. And many times, the relationship terminates as well. When you, as an individual, choose to be involved in a different type of relationship, quite often, with that alteration in your reality and in your beliefs, comes the termination of the present relationships that you're involved in. When we first began our interaction in this particular incarnational period, we suggested that those individuals who choose to enter into the new age and new energy, who choose to consciously create their reality, do so with the understanding that there's a very strong possibility that the particular relationships and the particular interactions that they're having with other individuals will change dramatically. And it's a choice that you can make. It's not a right or wrong. It's a choice. It's a validation of belief systems. And so the individual involved in the abusive situation is as much in control, and many times, once again, the victim is in more control than the aggressor. And indeed, both individuals hold belief systems that are being validated, and through that validation agree to participate in that type of a relationship. And in your society, you find that difficult to grasp, absolutely, because you view it as being a negative type of relationship or interaction. And yet you can look at a different type of relationship where you have two individuals who are involved in creating realities that can be very beneficial to each of them. For example, you can have an individual who is suffering from what you might refer to as an illness, and that individual searches out some other individual to assist them in curing the illness or relieving some achieving some type of relievement from the discomfort of that illness. And that individual who succeeds in that assistance, who does indeed help that individual overcome their illness, is looked upon as being not an aggressor, but rather someone who is indeed helping an individual and has some type of an influence over that individual's reality. The only influence is there is because the individual who is experiencing the illness agrees to participate, is searching for that type of an interaction, is searching for that type of an experience. The level of consciousness from which you create your reality rejoices in the abusive situation as much as it does and rejoices in the situation that seems to, in your society, be viewed as a positive relationship and interaction. And the individual that you look upon as being the healer, the one that you might refer to as being the doctor, and you hold up as having some type of ability to cure another individual, is simply involved in an interaction with that individual in which they both agree to participate and to allow one to experience that type of reality to validate their belief systems. It's an agreement. It's a validation of beliefs and belief systems. And the situation that you view as being negative is as much a validation of their belief systems as the situation that you view as being positive. It's a validation of beliefs. One is as legitimate as the other. Each is achieving that which they desire. And that again becomes difficult for you to grasp. How can someone desire to be involved in an abusive situation where one holds a belief that they're not worthy? A belief that's put in place many times in your so-called level of consciousness that we refer to as a between incarnational state. You choose to enter into certain circumstances and situations to have the possible opportunity to experience that type of a reality, the potential to have that experience. You choose. It's not that someone subjected you to it. You choose. Even you look upon an individual as an infant, you have difficulty understanding that that infant chose to be involved in that situation. That infant chose to be involved in that relationship with the entities that are the so-called family, the support system. And the family, Israel, agreed and chose to participate in that interaction and between the individuals. You see, that individual that you view as being an infant is indeed an entity who is no more and no less than any other entity that exists throughout all of creation. An entity that chooses to be involved in this vibrational level in your so-called awakened consciousness state. An entity who at some level of their consciousness has put in place the belief systems, put in place the choices and decisions to be involved in that particular incarnational period and circumstances that are surrounding their experiences. And that becomes difficult for many individuals to grasp, particularly in the negative aspect, in what you refer to as a society as being a negative type of reality experience. And yet the other experiences that you look upon as being positive, now that's an entirely different situation. That you can accept, that an individual has made the necessary choices to be involved. You can look at two individuals who are involved in a relationship where they have been involved in a marital situation for several years, and seemingly a very happy, a very joyous relationship. And you look upon that as being very positive. Oh yes, they can create that. Oh yeah, you see, they're making the right choices. Right because your society judges whether it's right or wrong. The spark of consciousness that you are creates that reality to validate their beliefs as readily as it would create the reality to validate the beliefs if they chose to be involved in a situation that you might refer to as a negative situation that might validate beliefs that they hold, that they are perhaps not worthy of being involved in a relationship that has some type of a beneficial experience for them. You see, for some individuals, relationships are very difficult. For some individuals, to be involved in a relationship that has some value or that is indeed a worthy and very valuable relationship is a difficult reality to create. They may believe that they're not worthy, but they may believe that it's a huge effort to sustain that type of relationship, and they're not willing to put in that effort, or they may not be willing to do the necessary steps that are required to express love, not only to themselves, but to another. You see, when an individual has difficulty expressing love, it doesn't matter whether it's to themselves or other, the difficulty is the same. An individual who has difficulty in loving another will have difficulty in loving themselves as well. And if you don't love yourself, and if you don't do the necessary steps, for love is a state of being and a state of doing. It doesn't just occur, you work at it. If you wish to have it occur, then you work at it consciously. You can make those choices to do the things that are necessary to allow you to experience the feelings that are associated with love, and you do them for yourself as well as for others. And if you can't do it for yourself, then you can't do it for others. You can't give to someone what you can't give to yourself. And so those individuals have difficulty being involved in relationships. You see, to be involved in a relationship that has the type of a loving relationship that you would expect in a marriage type of relationship requires that an individual not only like who they are consciously, but love themselves consciously. That they do things for themselves consciously so that they can express and do the same things for another. You give to yourself so that you can experience feelings of joy. The feelings are what are important. You exist in this vibrational level to experience feelings. And so you give to yourself so you can experience feelings of security. You give to yourself so that you can experience feelings of being committed to yourself. You give to yourself so that you can experience feelings of being worthy. You must understand the terminology of certain things that you do. You see, in your so-called awakened consciousness state, when we refer to the limitlessness of using a vocabulary, it comes with understanding what it means to give. You see, individuals are involved in all parts of societal interactions, be they be within a family group or a group of friends that you're involved with. And many times you think you're giving to someone to allow that person to experience feelings of love. But with the gift comes conditions. And as soon as you put a condition upon a gift, it is no longer a gift, it becomes a contract. And there's nothing wrong with contracts. They allow your society to function. They are one of the vices that allow you to have a sense of what's right and wrong in your society. Nothing wrong with contracts at all. What's wrong is when you believe that a contract is an expression of love. It's a limited expression of love if you give something and put a condition upon it. If you give something unconditionally, then it's an act of love. You give it and it's given. The individual can do what they wish with it. Then it's an act of love. That allows that individual to experience the joy that can come from an unconditional gift. It allows that individual to experience the security and the feelings surrounding that security that come from an unconditional gift. And when you give it to yourself, if you do it with conditions, you form a contract. And if you form a contract, you set yourself up to experience these feelings of being less than worthy. You see, we give you an example. An individual decides that they want to achieve something. It doesn't matter what it is. You put a goal out there. An individual perhaps has some type of an addiction to smoking, for example, and you want to quit smoking. Okay? So if I quit smoking, if I do that, then I'm going to give to myself this great, grandiose holiday. And I'm going to prove that I love myself, because if I quit smoking, I'll give it to myself. And if I don't quit smoking, then I can't have it. Well, that's forming a contract with yourself. There's nothing wrong with the contracts, once again. If that'll assist you in achieving what you desire, then go for it. But understand that it's a contract, that you've made a deal with yourself. You haven't given yourself a gift. You can't go on this journey, on this holiday that you're giving to yourself because you've performed a contract and kept up the other end of the deal whereby you quit smoking. That's a contract. And if you go on this experience, on this holiday, and you trick yourself into believing that it was a gift that you gave to yourself, it wasn't a gift. It was indeed a contract. And it was fulfilling the terms of the contract. Not a gift of love. Not an unconditional gift. Individuals will help other entities that are involved in a relationship. And they will suggest to them, well, I will give you some type of financial assistance, providing that you meet these certain requirements. Nothing wrong with that. Once again, it's a contract that allows you to function within a society. It puts the limitations. You know what you can do and what you can't do. It makes it so that you can indeed understand what's required within a relationship to sustain it. But it's not an act of unconditional love. In unconditional love, you give and allow the other to do what they wish with it so that they can experience the full sense of unconditional love. It's important to understand what those mean. When one involves with another and commits to the other, it's important to understand what those commitments are so that the other can experience a sense of, once again, security, a sense of knowing, a sense of vulnerability, without wondering whether the commitment will end. And many individuals have difficulty in being involved in relationships that require that type of commitment, that require that type of giving. They have difficulty being involved in commitments where they allow the other to know who they are. Or when they allow the other to be who they are and to love them anyway. And yet that's what's required. And until you can love yourself in that manner, you have difficulty in loving others and you have difficulty being involved in loving relationships. Love is a state of being and a state of doing. You do things to allow the other to experience emotions and feelings that they desire to experience. And it takes an effort. To simply say that you love someone, to voice the words, means nothing. It requires an effort. It requires doing the things. It requires a being in the doing. And you do it first for yourself and then for another. If you don't like who you are, you have difficulty in loving who you are. And if you don't love yourself consciously, you have difficulty in expressing love to another. You see, many times in your so-called adolescence, individuals are told that you can't be conceited. You can't like yourself. Don't do that. Don't like who you are. You can't walk around saying how good you are. That's being conceited. That's not right. And yet, when you are continuously given that suggestion, you begin to believe that there's something wrong with liking who you are. You begin to believe that there's something wrong with being the individual that doesn't meet others' standards. And yet, if you don't meet your own standards, it doesn't matter whether you meet others' standards or not, because it's what's important to you that gives you the capacity to like who you are. And as a result of liking who you are, you begin to have the expectation that you can create the reality that you desire. And when you begin to love yourself consciously, then you as well begin to have that ability to consciously influence and to create your reality. Like who you are. And the process is simple. We don't usually give methods or techniques, because you see, a method or the technique that you use has very little importance if you don't believe it'll work. You must believe. You must hold the belief. And so if we tell you to try something that might assist you in liking who you are, you must believe that it will work. If it doesn't, you don't believe that it will work, then it won't work. And you're wasting your time. You can get on and find your own type of belief system and apply it, and it'll have much more success if you believe. For the method of the technique is not nearly as important as what you believe in the method of the technique. Absolutely. But like who you are. It's a very simple process to like who you are. You can make it difficult, and many times do make it very difficult. But the process is very simple. You put out a list of principles. Just list the principles. All that you can think of. And then go through the principles and apply an order of importance. This, I think this principle is very important. I'll put that one at the top for this time. And we'll put the next one in this place, and we'll arrange them in such and such a manner. And every chance I get, I will apply my principles. And when you apply the principles, you begin to strengthen your character. You begin to like who you are for who you are. Don't apply the principles, and don't select the principles that you think will impress others. That's not important. Impress yourself. Like who you are. Like who you are. That's what's important. You see, so many times individuals believe that it's what they do to impress others that gains respect. And it's not that way at all. You don't do for others to gain respect. You do to apply your principles. And that's how you gain respect. You apply your principles and you care about how others feel. Caring about another's feelings will gain more respect than doing any type of activity that you think will appease their principles that you think they should apply to you. Not important. What's important is that the principles are your principles, that you will like the individual that you become as you apply your principles. And so you apply the principles. And as you begin to strengthen your character, don't be surprised if the order of importance of the principles changes. And that doesn't really matter. Change it. It's not something rigid that has to be in place forever. Change it. As you begin to change the individual that you are and you begin to like who you are consciously. And as you begin to like who you are consciously, then a very almost for many unbelievable things begins to occur. Absolute strangers begin to like who you are without even knowing, because you begin to carry about you an aura and an energy that others can relate to. For you see, you interact subconsciously, whether you believe it or not. Each of you is telepathic beyond what you could ever possibly imagine in your awakened consciousness that. You get those feelings and you react to them. And so you have some individuals that you look upon as having some type of a magnetic personality, and you find out that they like who they are, that they apply their principles, and they love themselves consciously. They believe that they are deserving, which is another byproduct of liking yourself consciously. You begin to believe that you deserve. You begin to believe that it's possible to achieve that which you desire consciously. And so you apply the principles. Many individuals get caught in a trap as they apply the principles, and they will be involved in a situation and they'll fail to apply a certain principle, and they begin to beat themselves up over this failure. I can't do this. It's very difficult. And so you're involved in a dozen situations, and once you fail to apply the principle, a lot of that dozen situations, you forget all about the 11 times that you were successful, and you begin to dwell on the one time that you were unsuccessful. And you begin to hold that conscious thought that you can't do this. And you begin to make the choices and the decisions that validate that you can't do this. And the stock of consciousness that you are creates the reality to validate that you can't do this. And so you believe that it can't be done. And guess what? It becomes very difficult. Because the stock of consciousness that you are creates the reality that you desire and validate your belief systems. Whether in your conscious and awake state you believe it's good or bad doesn't really matter. For your stock of consciousness, it's always from a position of absolute unconditional love, and it's always done joyously. It's a validation of a belief. And so dwell on the 11 times when you've been successful. If you were to look at any other type of experience that you're involved in your interactions with others, if you're right 11 out of 12 times, you'll look at that upon being highly successful. Apply the same to your principles. It's the same reasoning. Forget about the time that you feel. Put it aside. It's not really important. Get on with doing the things that you believe you should be doing in order to validate that you are worthy, in order to strengthen your character and apply your principles. And when you begin to strengthen your character, then you can also begin to do the things that you must do in order to love yourself consciously. For once again, love is a state of being and a state of doing. To simply suggest that you love someone without doing something to express that love is not going to create the experience or the relationship that you wish to be involved in. It requires an effort. You must do. It's a state of being and a state of doing. First for yourself and then for others. And then you can create the type of relationship that you look upon as being desirable. The spark of consciousness that you are gives to you that which you desire, without exception and without faith. Always. Now, if you have any questions, we would be willing to attempt to answer them for you.
Can I ask a question? In this reality, are we connected, like the people that we're connected with, our entities in this conscious reality? Now, are we connected with them in other lifetimes, or is our entity connected with these things, people like families or things?
It becomes a very difficult concept to grasp in your awakened consciousness state. But you are connected with every entity in every atom that exists in your entire vibrational level. In your awakened consciousness state, you believe that you are indeed a separate entity. And you are. We're not suggesting that there is no individuality, but rather that you are indeed as well all one. It can't be explained. You're asking for an explanation on a particular subject which we have suggested many times. You must go within thought to find the answers. It can't be expressed. It can't be written down. You'll never find it in any book, or you'll never hear it in any type of channeling such as we're doing. The information we give you is simply an expression of that which you desire to hear, information which is contained within each of you. And so yes, you interact with other individuals in many so-called other lifetimes, in other incarnational periods. And some of the individuals that you're experiencing in your awakened consciousness state in this incarnational period, you definitely interact with in other incarnational periods and other experiences and relationships. And not always the same, absolutely not. But you don't always interact with the same individuals either. And yet at some level, you are all connected. At some level, you all exist. And again, it becomes difficult to give an explanation because it can't be explained that you are all that is. And if you are all that is, it means that each of you is all that is, and yet you are individuals. If you go within thought, you can get a glimpse of that connection. You can get a glimpse of the unconditional love and of the spark of consciousness that you are. If you can get past the interferences and get past all of the distractions and go deeper and deeper, you can get that connection. You can understand who and what you truly are. You can get a glimpse of that understanding that you cannot fail. You can get a glimpse of the understanding as well that every other individual is all that is. Every other individual exists in their reality because they make those choices to be involved in those interactions. And so the simple answer to your question is that yes, you interact with other entities and other relationships in other incarnational periods. But it's much deeper than that. That's the awake consciousness understanding. You are all that is. And at some level, each of you, not only those entities that you interact with in your awakened consciousness state, but every entity in your vibrational level and in all of the other vibrational levels, interact with each other, are all the one, if you wish. It becomes difficult for each of you to grasp the concept that you exist within each and every atom of your entire universe. But the entire universe exists because you as individuals believe it exists. It's an illusionary reality. And each of you is responsible for its creation and sustaining its existence. And each of you exists within it. You are so much more than you can possibly conceive in your awakened consciousness state. You are all that is. Each of you. And yet you are separate. Go within thought. When you go within thought and you make that connection, you begin to understand. And you begin to understand as well the difficulty in attempting to express it to others, that it just can't be done. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Could you elaborate on your the role and significance that dreams have in your
Yes, so the entities existing in your vibrational level enter into what we refer to as the dream state. The dream state, in a so-called deep dream state, is one level, if you wish to look at levels of consciousness, or one step away from being involved in the consciousness that we refer to as the between-incarnational state. In the dream state, you are indeed interacting with other entities that are in your so-called vibrational level in this incarnational period, but also in other incarnational periods as well. And you, in your so-called dream state, interact with that multidimensional personality that you are in other so-called incarnational periods. In your dream state, you exist without the limitations of your so-called human consciousness belief systems in time and space and the various other human consciousness belief systems. And in your dream state, indeed, you can make choices and do make choices to be involved in certain realities to allow you to experience certain emotions and feelings. And in your dream state, you many times put in place, if you wish, the belief systems, or alter the belief systems, or alter certain beliefs within belief systems that allow you to influence the reality that you experience in your awakened consciousness state. In your so-called past, in your history, the dream state could have a much more direct impact on your reality than it does in this so-called transference state that you're in as you enter into this new age and new energy. Now, it's not that you can't still be involved in that process, and many individuals choose to remain involved in that process. But in your new age and new energy, what you accomplished in your dream state would be much easier for you to accomplish in your so-called awakened consciousness state, to get an understanding of the process that's necessary for you to alter a belief in order to alter the reality. And so the dream state, which you enter into on a regular basis, every individual enters into the dream state. You can't sustain your reality without entering into the dream state. It's like you can't exist forever. At some level, you will die and enter into the between incarnational state. But in the dream state, you definitely make choices that influence the reality that you experience in your awakened consciousness state. The dream state is much more real than this state. The dream state gives you the capacity to once again interact with other incarnational periods that you're involved in, to have a better understanding of the multi-dimensional personality that you are. And when you come back from the dream state, it's distorted. It always doesn't make sense, because you choose, once again, to put in place that electromagnetic type of energy, that veil that limits your capacity to understand not only who and what you truly are, but of the essential elements that are necessary to create and sustain this reality that you experience. You put in place that limitation. Absolutely. But in that dream state, you definitely make choices and decisions that influence the reality that you experience in your day-to-day activities. Some individuals make a huge effort to be involved in what we refer to as lucid dreaming, to take that consciousness and to be aware of what it is that they're experiencing in their dream state, and to influence it, to consciously make choices that influence the reality that they experience. And once again, your new agers or your scientists or many individuals refer to that as lucid dreaming. It's possible for an entity to enter into a meditative state. And we have many times suggested that the meditative state is a step away, if you wish, from the dream state, which is a step away from the so-called in-between incarnation state. But many individuals in that meditative state have learned to take their consciousness, to be aware of what it is that they're experiencing, and utilize a type of creation process similar to the dream state, and become quite efficient at utilizing meditation as a method or technique in order to influence and to create the reality. The primary element for that to be successful is you must believe. If you don't believe it'll work, it won't work. We've used an analogy many times, and we briefly go through it. It's like you're going on a journey across some type of a body of water, and you come down upon a shore, and lined up along this shore are a multitude of vessels, and you can choose a vessel to make your journey. And just off the shore, there's this fog bank that makes it very difficult for you to know how far the journey is or what you're about to experience. So many individuals run up and down the shore trying to choose the vessel that will give them the best chance of succeeding on their voyage. And they never ever make the voyage. They're too busy looking to make sure that the vessel is fully equipped and will handle and do all of the necessary chores, if you wish, that are necessary for them to achieve and to accomplish their journey. And so they never take the journey. They never ever choose what they believe. Other individuals come down. First vessel they come to, this looks like it'll do, begin on their journey and have all types of success in experiencing because they believe. And once again, the irony of it is that it doesn't matter what vessel you choose as long as you believe. The irony of it is that you can walk across the water if you wish. You don't really need any type of vessel at all. All you need is a belief that you can accomplish. And so if you wish to believe that through meditation it's possible for you to achieve and to influence your reality, you can have that. As it is for individuals who believe that if they can take their consciousness into their dream state, that they can influence their reality there as well through lucid dreaming and can be very successful at it. You create your reality. You cannot alter that. You can alter the method and the technique that you utilize to do it from a conscious state. But you can't alter the fact that you create it. If you choose to believe you don't create it, that's a choice. That's a choice, and you'll create all types of realities to validate that you're not in control. But it's still your choice. It's still your validation of your belief system. Always, without exception, you create the reality. And if you choose to believe that you don't create it from a conscious state, if you choose to ignore all of the methods or techniques that might be available to you, and once again, it doesn't matter which one you choose, it's your belief that's important. If you choose to ignore the fact that you can influence your reality from whatever state, then you will nonetheless influence it, and you'll do it from a level of consciousness that you have when you entered into this vibrational level, agreed to participate in, which is to create your reality from a level of consciousness where you, in your so-called awakened consciousness state, through the sustenance of a veil, have absolutely no idea how you do it. You limit the capacity to understand. It's a choice. You're here by choice. You stay here by choice, and you will leave by choice. And so when you choose, once again, to create from a position of being not in control, then you will do so from a level of your consciousness that you're not aware of, in the dream state, or many times what we refer to as the between incarnational state. We've spoken before of individuals who are your so-called scientists who are discovering, through a belief system, that you have a DNA. And in that DNA is indeed the basis for your physical being and the physical attributes that you experience in this incarnational period. Your scientists have also discovered that in the DNA there's a huge portion that doesn't seem to have a function, that it just seems to be stuff that's there. For many years your scientists referred to it as the junk part of the DNA. It doesn't have a purpose. The irony of it is that it has a purpose. You see, it's portions of the DNA that are put in place when you make choices in your so-called between incarnational state for the possibility of having certain experiences in this particular incarnational period. Based upon the choices and decisions that you make, based upon the thoughts and feelings that you experience in this incarnational period, you can influence the energy that surrounds the DNA, and as a result of the influence of that energy, you can activate or deactivate the so-called junk area of the DNA to have an experience for a certain type of physical ailment, if you wish, that you put in place the possibility for in your so-called between incarnational state. You made the choice. Oh, it might be nice to have this experience if I, in this incarnational period, decide to do so. If in this incarnational period I hold certain thoughts and feelings and I make the choices, then I can activate that part of the DNA and I can have that experience. And I can experience the emotions and feelings that are indeed come with that type of creation process. I can experience the emotions and feelings that are associated with that type of experience. And so individuals, in their so-called between incarnational state, make choices, put in place the possibility to have certain experiences in your incarnational awake consciousness state. And in the dream state, you as well make choices and decisions that influence the thoughts and feelings and the choices and decisions that you make in your so-called awakened consciousness state that can indeed influence the energy and alter the energy that surrounds the DNA that activates the particular portion of that DNA that allows you to have that experience. As an example, an individual can put in place the possibility to experience an illness. And a very common one in your particular society is the experience of cancer. And so you put in place that possibility in your so-called between incarnational status. And then you make the choices and decisions that surround the energy, that influence the energy that surrounds the DNA. And you hold the various belief systems and the attitudes that as well activate the energy that surrounds the DNA, that activate that part of the DNA that perpetuates and brings into the experience and turns what was once simply a possibility into a probability that you will experience cancer in this particular incarnational period. And so you create it. It was in the DNA. It was there all along. The possibility was there through the choices and decisions and the thoughts and feelings and through holding certain attitudes and beliefs. You activated the energy that made it possible for that particular element of the DNA, that particular portion, to go from being a possibility into a probability, and you experience the reality and it comes into fruition and you can have the cancer. You create it all. It's not an accident. And then you have the individuals who believe as well that they can handle that type of experience and they can cure it. And once again, they hold the belief systems. And once again, they make the necessary choices and decisions. Once again, they hold the thoughts and feelings, the proper attitudes, and they change as well that energy that surrounds the DNA. And they deactivate that particular element of the DNA, and they take what was once a possibility and turn it back into a probability, and they experience what you refer to as a cure, a choice, a validation of a belief system, influenced through the dream state in many times, and as you enter into this new age and new energy, has much and much more opportunity to be involved and influenced from the conscious state. So yes, the dream state and the interactions that you have with others in the dream state have a profound effect upon the reality that you experience in your awakened consciousness state. Absolutely. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Well now, it has indeed been a very enjoyable interaction and afternoon, and we would like to express our gratitude to each of you for allowing us this opportunity to interact and to share with you. It's important to understand we simply express to you that which you already know, if you wish, that knowledge which is contained within each of you. You have but to go with inside to experience. We don't tell you anything that you don't desire to hear. And to expect that we somehow have access to knowledge that you don't have access to is just ludicrous. It's available to each of you. You have but to go with inside. You have but to believe. We simply tell you that which you desire to hear. And so many times individuals will sit and say, oh, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. Well, of course it is. Because we tell you exactly that which you desire to hear. We don't come here to tell you how to experience your reality. We don't come here to tell you how to influence it. We don't tell here to come here to tell you how you should exist or live in this vibrational level. It's beyond our capacity to do so. We simply tell you that which you desire to hear from information that's contained within each of you. You have but to believe. You have but to go with inside. The answers that you seek are within inside each of you. The knowledge is available to each of you. You have but to believe. And we would remind you that we are not separated by time or space, but rather by a vibrational level. And should you choose to interact with us, you have but to express the intent, and we would welcome that opportunity to interact and to share with each of you. For us, it is indeed a very enjoyable experience from which we learn from each of you. It's not the other way around. And so until the next time that you would offer us this opportunity, we would express our gratitude once again, and we would bid our farewell with love and with peace.